Fishing in the creek and ice skating on the creek. Going down to the creek and fishing all day.
Nobody around to disturb you?
There's nobody around. Nobody. Well, we also go swimming too. Swimming and fishing, we'd swim and fish and swim and fish. It was almost a Huckleberry Finn kind of thing. Build a raft and drift down the creek. It's quiet, there's no one around down there. There were very few people around.
Adults weren't too worried about what the kids were getting up to?
No one ever... You know, the only things that were ever said to me was, you know, come home for dinner or, you know, come home for lunch or whatever, but that was it. I mean, we went down there completely unsupervised. There was none at all around. And it's just the way it was. And also, you know, other things gave me a great deal of pleasure. One was, you know, cutting cascara bark and drying it and then taking down and selling it and having a huge windfall of like $11 or something of that nature. Huge amount of money. My friend and I, the fellow that lives in Halifax, he and I, we'd do that together. And then we'd pack it up in old potato sacks and get on the interurban, take it down to BC Drugs, and we'd be terribly rich. You know, between the two of us, we might have $20, which was just an incredible amount of money.
Okay. What years are we...
Well, this would be, we'd be about 12, so 11, 12, 1941, 42, 43. When the war came along, the price of cascara went up. Just incredible. It went like from 6 cents a pound to, you know, like 12 cents a pound. It was incredible. Of course, you had to peel it, you had to dry it, you had to break it, you had to take it. This was a lot of work. A lot of work.
What's your most horrific memory?
Well, some of the memories I have of being lost in the fog, and some of the fogs are so bad, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you, and everything became, there was no traffic, there was nothing. It was just became absolutely dead silent and dead still. You could not see. You had to walk up to a street sign and look at it before you could even read it. Nothing could move. And that was... And another time was when there was a flood, when Still Creek flooded.
Do you remember what year that was?
I can't remember. No. The whole flat was completely flooded. People were rowing around on boats down in the flats or Still Creek avenues and so on. No, I mean, I had certain things that happened. Horrific memories of being chased by a horse or whatever. My sister and I were in a runaway, a horse runaway. And that was... I don't think, got over that. It was a bakery wagon. We were being given a ride home, and the bakery... driver got out of the wagon and something startled the horses and they took off. Went down Canada Way. A car stopped them down near Wellington. Yeah.
We were lucky we didn't get killed.
Yeah. And, you know, they're spectacular things. I remember one summer, and I can't tell you exact year it was, but we sat on our front porch, and we used to watch Seymour Mountain burning. It burned for weeks and weeks. And there used to be a huge patch on that mountain for years. You could see where the whole side of the mountain all burnt out. And you could just watch the sparks going up. It was, of course, you have to realize, when it got dark in Burnaby then, it got dark. There was just street lights here and there. Like Capitol Hill, when I used to walk home from my grandparents' place, I used to see one light on Capitol Hill. One light,
very different than today.
Yeah.
Were there any differences between your family life and community life? Cultural differences, religious differences? And did they have any effect on growing up?
Well, my family were basically English Scottish, so the community that I lived in, we were English Scottish, but we were a minority. Most of the people around us were Ukrainian. On one of the areas I lived in, I think we were the only English-speaking people on that stretch of the road. Everyone else was Ukrainian. So there were these differences, but, you know, kids are kids. I mean, kids get along. But I did learn quite a bit of Ukrainian, although it was all pretty bad Ukrainian. But I understand that what I do know, and I've talked to someone who understands Ukrainian, that my pronunciation is quite good, but most of my language is all profanities. it's all profane. So he quite enjoys that and laughs about it, because I can tell him some things, and his wife doesn't understand Ukrainian, and so she says, "What's he saying?" And he says, "You don't want to hear about this." But then the war came along, you know, and.